We're now going to take a look at some of the apparent effects of bringing some of the individuals and institutions into Eastern Europe that we have already looked at. Now, recall, so far on the broadcast, we've basically been taking a look at the same kinds of activities going on in Eastern Europe that we have looked at in the Soviet Union in weeks past, just as we looked at organizations like the LCRA and LIC importing fascists and fascist ideas and symbols into Lithuania, and just as we've seen the OUN Bandera organization making its reappearance into the Soviet Union, just as we've seen the National Endowment for Democracy and the equally inappropriately named Free Congress Foundation supporting elements like that inside the Soviet Union, we have seen the same sorts of institutions and individuals supporting the same kinds of institutions and individuals in Eastern Europe. We took a look at the fascist Arrow Cross and connections between American veterans, American-based veterans of the Arrow Cross organization, and the also inappropriately named Democratic or New Democratic Forum, which we will be coming back to. We've taken a look at the resurgence of Iron Guard activity in Romania. The Iron Guard, also with very strong connections to our national security establishment. We'll be taking a look at them presently. These organizations also connected to the Free Congress Foundation. We've taken a look at the World Slovak Congress, basically a vehicle for the Nazi collaborationist Linke Party, and its activities both in North America and the transporting of some of those individuals to Czechoslovakia, where Václav Havel has apparently been more than willing to play ball with some of these same individuals, although there are indications that they are now about to turn on him. And we've also taken a look, of course, at some of these same elements in conjunction with both the Galen Organization and the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, a key element of the former World Anti-Communist League in past broadcasts. It should come as no great surprise that in Eastern Europe, an area which has traditionally been very anti-Semitic, the return of elements like this would coincide with and perhaps help to fuel the resurgence of anti-Semitism, because anti-Semitism is on the rise in Eastern Europe as well as the Soviet Union, and we are finding, as we examine that anti-Semitism, the resurgence of it, the same names, the same institutions that we have looked at in not only the Goldenthal and Ballant article, but in the previous installments as well. We will be taking a look at now at organizations like the New Democratic Forum, the National Christian Peasants Party, both organizations associated with the Free Congress Foundation, and we're going to take a look at some of the resurgent fascist and anti-Semitic activities in Eastern Europe right now. It is said that as you sow, so shall ye reap. Well, they've been sowing in Eastern Europe, and it looks like they're about to reap, and in fact are reaping as well. We're going to return to an article, part of which we read a few weeks ago in an earlier installment of this archive series. Actually, it's not an archive series. It's been done in installments. It's Radio Free America 36. But we're now going to take a look at an article called The Long Shadow, subheaded, The Collapse of Communism Has Allowed Old Hatreds to Resurface Throughout Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union. 5 decades after the Holocaust began, anti-Semitism is returning on the fringes of political life. The challenge is to keep it on the fringes. This is from Newsweek magazine of May 7th of 1990. And as we move into the article, and we read part of this dealing with the Soviet Union some weeks back, we're going to take a look at now at information dealing with Eastern Europe. The article reads in part, "Across Eastern Europe, anti-Semitism and anti-communism now blend in an explosive mix. Secularized, assimilated Jews have occasionally achieved political prominence in the East Bloc. Zionism had no appeal for them. With the rise of fascism, they were drawn to socialism and communism. To the degree that Jews helped introduce communist rule in Eastern Europe, anti-communists will resent them. But what is actually happening is something quite different. Tailoring Hitler's old idea of a Judeo-Bolshevik conspiracy to a modern cut, anti-Semites now accuse Jews of running just about everything, even though the power everywhere, even in the Soviet bloc, has always rested with non-Jewish communists. Assimilated Jews did play a significant role in running Hungary after World War II. Some say Stalin planted them in the Politburo because he trusted them more than most Hungarians, interrupting, bear in mind now, of course, that Hungary fought on the side of the Axis and against the Soviet Union in World War II. Now, returning to the article now, with the disintegration of the Hungarian Communist Party, the word Jewish used as a slur has come to signify a traitor, not a money grubber. Jewish professionals dial their message machines and hear things like, 'You dirty, stinking Jew, we'll send you back to Auschwitz,' unquote. when the MTK soccer team, founded by Jews 102 years ago but now manned entirely by Gentiles, scores, opposing fans shout, quote, "No goals for the Jews. Dirty Jews, Jews, Jews. To the gas chambers, gas chambers, gas chambers," unquote. Quote, "Such things are to be taken seriously," says Attila Pock, P-O-K, a respected historian who is not Jewish. Again quoting, "Once a political leader is found who can make use of these feelings, he might arouse the masses behind him." Interrupting now with the introduction of Arrow Cross-related elements in Hungary and the new Democratic Forum or Democratic Forum, it should not be all that surprising if we find a leader who is able to unite some of these individuals and some of these sentiments underneath him and exploit them to exploit them effectively in future Hungarian politics. And bear in mind now that the Free Congress Foundation is closely allied with the New Democratic Forum that we looked at, and that the New Democratic Forum, or Democratic Forum, has received significant help from American-based Arrow Cross veterans, because we're now going to take a look at the New Democratic Forum and some of the things that we have... that we should really come to expect at this point from an institution like the Democratic Forum, allied with FCF and the Arrow Cross and the ABN, etc. Returning to Newsweek of May 7, 1990, The Long Shadow, "The recent Hungarian elections presented a case study of these forces at work. The campaign pitted an anti-communist group called the Democratic Forum," that's the FCF, ABN, Arrow Cross-related group that we took a look at earlier, returning again, "the campaign pitted an anti-communist group called the Democratic Forum against the Alliance of Free Democrats, some of whom were reform communists drummed out of the party years ago, some of whom were Jews." Over the radio, playwright István Surka, C-S-U-R-K-A, a spokesman for the forum, said, quote, "Wake up, Hungarians. As long as a dwarfish minority can make a whole society accept that their truth is the only truth, the great popular masses of the Hungarian people cannot have a good time in their own country," unquote. Surka said later that he was attacking communists, not Jews. He attributed Hungary's residual anti-Semitism to the fact that Stalin had placed four Jews on the Politburo, an act he called a deliberate plot, quote, "to destroy the self-esteem of the Hungarian people," unquote. Elsewhere, Jews were attacked for everything from introducing abortion to increasing crime by bringing violence to television and the movies. Not all members of the forum resorted to anti-Semitic tactics. Forum leaders disavowed them. Nor was anti-Semitism the only issue in the campaign. Whatever the case, the forum won. And bear in mind the FCF, Arrow Cross, ABN connections to that we've touched on earlier. Continuing. "No one has yet taken full account of anti-Semitism in Hungary during and after World War II. The common belief among non-Jewish Hungarians is that the country has always been good to its Jews, that they were not sent to the death camps until 1944 when the Nazis occupied the country, and that even then Hungarians resisted saving most of the Jews from the Budapest... ghetto. Pock calls this version nonsense, quote-unquote. He points out that Arrow Cross fascists killed Jews throughout the war, that once Adolf Eichmann put the final solution into operation, Hungarians fell quickly into step. "It's very hard to grasp the significance of the Holocaust here," he says, "and Hungarians have never accepted their share of the blame for it," unquote. And bear in mind again, the Democratic Forum, or New Democratic Forum, its alliance with the Free Congress Foundation, the inappropriately named Free Congress Foundation, and the Arrow Cross and ABN elements that we've looked at earlier. We're now going to take a look at activities going on in Romania today, and once again we're going to take a look at the Iron Guard and a vehicle for a resurgent Iron Guard activity in Romania, the National Peasants Party, or now the National Christian Peasants Party, as that has been renamed, and that also was an organization that we looked at in the Ballant and Wolf article as being among the students and the associates of the Free Congress Foundation. Returning to Moon Newsweek of May 7th of 1990. During the Romanian Revolution last year, the Securitas secret police burned down their own headquarters to destroy their records. They didn't quite succeed. Last week, an old communist across town showed a visitor a sheaf of scorched files. He took a charred page from one of them. It was a report charging that Ion Puiu, P-U-I-U, now vice president of the National Peasants Party, the most important opposition group in Romania, was once a member of the Iron Guard. Like all unprocessed police records, this one proved nothing, but the possibilities were interesting. During the Nazi occupation, the Iron Guard hanged the corpses of Jews from the Bucharest ghetto on hooks under a sign that said, "Kosher meat," quote-unquote. That, by the way, was the pogrom that we talked about in Radio Free America 2. That was the one that was started by Valerian Trifa, who we looked at in the Goldenthal and Balan article from Covert Action Information Bulletin that we read earlier. Continuing. After the war, some of these people drifted into the far right wing of NPP, which has never purged itself. Right now, the party is the right now the party is in the center of an election campaign marred by anti-Semitism. The two main targets under NPP attack are Petre Roman, R-O-M-A-N, the prime minister of the interim government, and Silvu Brucan, B-R-U-C-A-N, a theorist for the National Salvation Front. Both had Jewish parents. Neither considers himself a Jew. Graffiti on Bucharest walls read, quote, "Roman isn't Roman," unquote. An article in the NPP's paper accused Brucan, along with six prominent Jewish communists, of, quote, "organizing the genocide of the Romanian people," unquote, during the post-war years. It denies any connection to anti-Semitism. Sometimes it sounds persuasive, sometimes it doesn't. Quote, "We never made such radical statements as the Jews brought communism to Romania," says Lup Joan, J-O-A-N, the NPP's secretary general. Yet the party's newspaper made just such assertions, even accompanying one article with a caricatured Jew as the devil. Just so no one could miss the point, the party has now changed its name to the National Christian Peasants Party. Anti-Semitism isn't covert, it is open now, says Rabbi Moses Rosen, Romania's chief rabbi, who has been criticized for working too closely with the fallen Ceausescu regime in buying freedom for Jews to immigrate to Israel. In his study, he pulls out one book entitled, "Is Communism Jewish?" unquote, and another one called, "The Occupation of the World by the Jews," unquote. These can easily be found. There are no definitive Romanian books about Romanian Jews. Until a few months ago, it was a crime to own Western books on the Holocaust. And continuing now from Romania, and bear in mind again that the National Christian Peasants Party, a vehicle for residual Iron Guardists and resurgent Iron Guard activity in Romania, is another of the organizations that was involved with the Free Congress Foundation, as we looked at in CAIB number 35, the Wolf Bland article. Continuing now, and we're going to take a look at what's going on in Poland as well. The Holy Mary Basilica in Sandomierz, Poland, S-A-N-D-O-M-I-E-R-Z, Poland, was built in the 17th century. Within the church, there is a huge painting entitled Infanticida, I-N-F-A-N-T-I-C-I-D-A. It depicts a band of caricatured Jews kidnapping, stabbing, and dismembering Christian babies as part of a religious ritual. A plaque claims that, quote, "faithless members of the Jewish community killed two Sandomierz babies in 1698 and 1710. A nun walks by. "Did Jews really do these things?" "Certainly," she says. "They once did, but no longer. There are no Jews left in Poland." Before the Holocaust, 3.5 million Jews lived in the country. Today, there are perhaps 4,400. Religious fervor and anti-communism have given Poland a fiercely anti-Semitic image. Poles say this is grossly unfair. How could there have been so many Jews in the past if Poland had not welcomed them? Yet today, Poles cannot even agree on how many of what kind of people died at Auschwitz. A sign at the death camp says, "Here 4 million people suffered and died at the hands of the Nazi murderers." The word Jew does not appear. The best estimate is that up to 1.5 million Jews and 100,000 Poles were gassed and cremated at Auschwitz. This wound began throbbing last year over a small Carmelite covenant convent at the camp. Jews said the convent was inappropriate. Cardinal Josef Glemp said Jewish intolerance and control of the Western media were the real problem. Fellow cardinals criticized him, Solidarity rebuked him, and he ultimately backed down. Now, a new convent is to be built farther from the camp, and the quick wits of Warsaw have invented a new Polish verb to glimp. Quote-unquote, it means to say something that makes one look unusually stupid. Cross-currents of nationalism, Roman Catholicism, anti-communism, and anti-Semitism make it almost impossible for an outsider to follow the manipulations of Polish politicians who practice anti-Semitism without Jews. At the offices of the National Word, Krzysztof Kawecki, K-A-W-E-C-K-I, runs a desktop publishing operation and dreams of uniting the country's monarchists, Christian nationalists, and other ultra-rightists. He denies being anti-Semitic, but he and his people are deeply suspicious of Bronislaw Geremek, G-E-R-E-M-E-K, head of Solidarity's Parliamentary Foreign Affairs Committee, Adam Michnik, M-I-C-H-N-I-K, editor of Gazeta Wyborcza, W-Y-B-O-R-C-Z-A, Solidarity's daily newspaper, and Jacek Kuron, K-U-R-O-N, Minister of Labor. And by the way, I will once again apologize, I'm probably butchering many of these pronunciations. The first two men are assimilated Jews. Many mistake Kuron as being Jewish. Kawecki says, quote, "It is impossible to say the Jewish question in Poland is not an actual problem anymore. The force and meaning of Jews doesn't consist in their numbers, but in their influence, mostly in culture and the mass media," unquote. No one in Poland misunderstands the national word. So there has certainly been a lot of talk about the return of democracy to Eastern Europe. Well, there may be some democratic elements, and I'm certainly not going to pretend that this represents the totality of Eastern Europe. But at the same time, I think it's quite obvious that, as the covert action information bulletin articles pointed out, and as this article illustrates, that anti-Semitism and fascism have indeed returned to Eastern Europe. Whether or not they will dominate that part of the world remains to be seen. But the activities of the U.S. National Security Establishment, the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, the LCRIA, the LIC, the Free Congress Foundation, National Endowment for Democracy, etc., all of these elements that are sponsoring the Iron Guard, the Arrow Cross, the Linke Party, and the elements that we've looked at, certainly have to be viewed as bearing a lot of the responsibility for the success of this kind of propagandizing and this kind of anti-Semitic philosophizing, which is taking hold in an area that has traditionally and historically been very anti-Semitic. And once again, bear in mind that we've seen the New Democratic Forum, the National Christian Peasants Party. These are organs which have been actively involved with the Free Congress Foundation, as we looked at in the Covert Action Information Bulletin article from CAIB number 35. We're going to take another musical break, and then we're going to return to the last installment of tonight's program, and we're going to take a look at, in considerable detail, at the Croatian fascists, the Ustashi, which are resurgent now in Yugoslavia, and which are one of the elements helping to stir up long-dormant but always present ethnic hostilities in Yugoslavia, arguably the most complex and rent asunder of all of the areas in Eastern Europe. It's questionable whether Yugoslavia, just like the Soviet Union, is going to survive, and we're going to take a look at the Ustashi, what they did, who supported them, their jump to the West at the end of World War II, their continued activities in many places, and we're going to take a look at their resurgence both in Croatia, and also we're going to take a look in the final element of this last installment, we're going to take a look at Ustashi elements active both in the United States and in Croatia. Music, and then the final installment of tonight's archive program.